माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपीजना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद इस डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिके। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading from the ninth chapter of the seventh canto. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 22. Satvam hi nitya vijitatma gunasvadhamna kalo vashikruta visruja visarga shakti चक्रे विसृष्टम अजयेश्वर षोडशारे निष्पीड्यमानं उपकर्ष विभो प्रपन्नम् सत्वं हि नित्य विजितात्म गुणस्वधाम्ना कालो वशीकृत विसृज विसर्ग शक्ति ही चक्रे विसृष्टमजयेश्वर षोडशारे निष्पीड्यमानं उपकर्ष विभो प्रपन्नम्। वन मोर टाइम। सत्वं हि नित्य विजितात्म गुणस्वधाम्ना कालो वशीकृत विसृज विसर्ग शक्तिः चक्रे विसृष्टमजयेश्वर षोडशारे निष्पीड्यमानं उपकर्ष विभो प्रपन्नम्। Ladies, please. Saha, that one, the supreme independent person who, through his external energy, has created the material mind, which is the cause of all suffering in this material world. Excuse me. Tvam, you are. He, indeed, nitya, eternally, vijita atma, conquered, gunaha, whose property of the intelligence, svadhamna, by your personal spiritual energy, kalaha, the time element, which creates and annihilates, vashikruta, brought under your control, visrujya, by which all effects, visarga and causes, shaktihi, the energy, chakre, in the wheel of time, the repetition of birth and death, visrishtam, being thrown, ajaya, by your external energy, the mode of ignorance. Ishvara, O Supreme Controller, Shodasha Are, with 16 spokes, the 5 material elements, the 10 senses, and the leader of the senses, namely the mind. Nishpidyamanam, being crushed under that wheel, Upakarsha, kindly take me to the shelter of your lotus feet. Vibho, O Supreme Great, Prapannam, who am fully surrendered unto you. I just need to go blow my nose and come back, excuse me. Sorry. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. Purport. The wheel of material miseries is also a creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he is not under the control of the material energy. Rather, he is the controller of the material energy, whereas we, the living entities, are under its control. When we give up our constitutional position, Jivera Swarupahaya Krishnera Nitya Dasa, the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates this material energy and her influence over the conditioned soul. Therefore, he is the Supreme, and only he can deliver the conditioned soul from the onslaught of material nature. Mam eva ye prapadyante, mayam etam tarantite. Maya, the external energy, continuously imposes upon the conditioned souls the suffering of the threefold miseries of this material world. Therefore, in the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord, but for your lordship, no one can save me. Prahlad Maharaj has also explained that a child's protectors, his parents, cannot save the child from the onslaught of birth and death, nor can medicine and a physician save one from death, nor can a boat or similar means of protection save a person drowning in the water. For everything is controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, suffering humanity must surrender to Krishna, as Krishna himself demands in the last instruction of Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishyami ma shuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from the sinful reaction. From all sinful reaction, do not fear. All of human society must take advantage of this offer and thus be saved by Krishna from the danger of being crushed by the wheel of time, the wheel of past, present and future. The word nishpidyamanam, being crushed, is very significant. Every living entity in the material condition is actually being crushed again and again. And to be saved from this position, one must take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one will be happy. The word prapannam is also very significant, for unless one fully surrenders to the Supreme Lord, one cannot be saved from being crushed. A criminal is put in prison and punished by the government, but the same government, if it likes, can release the criminal from imprisoned life. Similarly, we must know conclusively that our material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if we want to be saved from this suffering, we must appeal to the same controller. Thus one can be saved from this material condition. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyanajana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishta Sthapita Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we hear in these words, first of all, Hare Krishna to all of you. Thank you for joining us. Mohit Rasa, nice to see you. This is where Prahlad Maharaj is offering his prayers to Nrsingadev. And one after the other, he is saying these very fantastic, realizations. And they are not only devotionally just exhilarating, but they're also philosophically very acute. And yesterday, he referred to this particular thing called the wheel of time. And this wheel of time, it's different from wheel of fortune. Actually, this is the wheel of misfortune. But we'll see why it is the wheel of misfortune. So, this wheel has 16 spokes. And the 16 spokes are the five senses, or called the knowledge acquiring senses, which we all know what they are, right? I hope. Anyone who does not know what the five knowledge acquiring senses are? Okay, then there are the five working senses. You know them too? I hope so. Then there are the five elements. That makes it 15. And then there's one very dear friend, the soulmate for life after life, called the mind. Jai. This one fellow has been with us lifetime after lifetime, a constant companion and a complete rascal. Because the mind is the cause of all the suffering in this material world. So he describes that this is the wheel of time. It moves by time. And while it is moving, it does something. It's not just moving. If any wheel is moving, why do we care? You know, you see the wheel of fortune. People come and they actually move the wheel. And they wait for their, fortune? Ting, ting, ting. I don't even know. I never watched it. Once in a while, I thought it was too boring. But anyway. So this wheel, it does something. That's why it's important for us. It's relevant to us. We don't speak about any wheel anywhere. This wheel has something to do with us. What's our relationship with the wheel? It's called the crusher, and we're called the crushed. This wheel crushes all the living entities in this world. And the crushing is the experience of suffering. That's how we know. It crushes. And no one is free of it. No one. Whether the person is wearing fancy garments, whether he has a muscular body or a frail body, whether he's a very handsome and beautiful person or not so handsome and beautiful or beautiful, either rich or poor, black or white, brown, yellow, red, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if they're in the heavenly realms or in the earthly realm or in the hellish realm. Hellish, we can say, yeah, I know why they're crushed. Whether they're in America or India or Africa or the North Pole or South Pole, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're educated or not educated. They may have many degrees, college education, Ivy League, or from any other nondescript school or college. Whether they have all the abilities or no abilities, it doesn't matter. This is the equal opportunity crusher. It does not distinguish on the base of race, religion, caste, sex, gender. Sex means sexual preference, let's say. It doesn't matter. Whether you're straight, gay, bisexual, it doesn't matter. The wheel of time shall crush. So it's the equal opportunity crusher. And Prahlad Maharaj is praying that there's only one person or two categories of persons who are not crushed by it. So one category is, of course, the Supreme Lord. That's today's verse. He says, Sattvam hi nitya vijitatma guna swadhama. He says, as far as you're concerned, Lord Narsingadev, your vijita atma, you have conquered your mind. Guna swadhamna, and you're free of the binding of material energy. So this wheel of time, it does not crush you or touch you. In fact, it is under your control. You're above it. And then he says, now as far as the other category, he hasn't said it, but we understand from the purport, there is the other category who's not crushed. And that category is of persons who have taken shelter of Krishna. They are also not crushed by the wheel of time. For everyone else, Prahlad Maharaj is being the spokesperson. He's offering prayers to Lord Narsingadev on behalf of all of us poor conditioned souls. And he says, Nishpidyamanam. If we don't remember anything from this class, which is quite likely, if we only remember one word, if anyone asks, what did we hear in Bhagavatam class today? It's the rare chance if someone asked us, what did you hear from class today? Then only one word to remember, if you don't remember anything else, is Nishpidyamanam. I am being crushed. That's good enough. If you remember that, we have some hope. Nishpidyamanam. I am being crushed. And Prabhupada says, the word Nishpidyamanam is very significant. So in fact, in the material world, if you ask someone, how are you? Then they will say a variety of things. I'm good, no problem, hey, life's great, etc. And each person has their own self-styled way of saying everything's good. You ask a devotee, how are you doing? And his answer will be, Nishpidyamanam. That's the devotee. And people wonder, what's wrong with these guys? It's such a beautiful sunny day, fall, not so cold, not so warm. The leaves have turned color, everything is so beautiful. You ask the devotee, how are you? Nishpidyamanam. I'm being crushed. Like, what's wrong with these people? Why can't you say, I'm doing well, and you make my day? Why are you spoiling my day by saying I'm being crushed? But that's the truth. Nishpidyamanam. So he's offering and he's saying, Nishpidyamanam upakarsha. Upakarsha means please pick me up. So the last line is a fervent appeal to Lord Narasingadev. He says, Upakarsha, please pick me up, Vibho, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. And because he's Vibhu, automatically means we are Anu. Anu means very tiny and insignificant, whereas the Supreme Lord is Vibho, massive and significant. And he says, Prapannam, I'm surrendered at your lotus feet. So the whole idea of being crushed under this wheel of time and becoming relieved of that crushing, what a person needs to do is to take shelter of Krishna. So now we say, what does taking shelter of mean? That's one question that comes up. And another is, so a person who takes shelter, are they really relieved of, you know, the crushing? Because we say when the crushing is sensed by the fact that you have 5 senses or 10 senses, you have the mind and the material body, how can you be free of it? So first of all, let's consider what crushing actually is. Crushing is this very intense experience of pain and suffering in this world. And that pain and suffering comes from the sense of loss. Anything we have. There are 2 things, the sense of loss and the sense of attrition. Attrition means whatever we have is reducing. Or someone doesn't even have anything. So sense of loss is a person feels they have lost something in this world, which is constant, you know. Even if they're happy, that sense of happiness is lost very quickly. Something else has to happen. Or attrition, whatever I have that I like is slowly dwindling. Whether it is vitality or it is bodily strength or money or abilities, it's attrition. This is constantly reducing, decaying. So in that atmosphere where there is constant attrition and or loss, sense of loss, a person doesn't know what to do. Anyone swim here? Anyone who knows how to swim? But we are already drowning in the ocean of existence and we can't get out. I understand that part. But can you swim in a swimming pool? Few people. Those who don't know swimming and they're comfortable in the pool as long as your feet can touch the ground. No problem. Once you enter the deeper side of the pool where your feet don't touch, and for some reason you feel you're drowning, what's the first thing a person does? Well, that's called treading, because you know. But most people who don't know how to swim, they try to hold on to something, and in water there is nothing to hold on to. Or you flap your arms very, very strongly, thinking that that's going to help you float. And you notice one thing, the more you flap your hands and try to get your head above water, it doesn't work. In fact, the trick one is taught is when you are in such a situation, learn to be calm, and the trick to float or tread the water, as they say, but to float. And to float, you don't have to do much. Right? It is said that if you stiffen up in the water, because that's the first thing, we stiffen up, then we sure shot are going to drown. We're asked to relax. And one will say, what do you mean relax? I'm about to die. I can't relax. But when you relax, you float. Water by itself is called buoyancy, the ability to push you up. But when you stiffen up, you act against that buoyant force and you go down. So like this, a person when they're the sense of loss or attrition awakens to them and they're feeling it, then they flap their hands now in the ocean of material existence. However great a swimmer is, Prabhupada says, however great they can be, Michael Phelps, they can get all these gold medals, but in the ocean, it's all fair play. No one can cross an ocean. So they flap their arms. Now this is just visually. We try to somehow or the other manage the problems that we have. Now we try to grasp anything we can get. We try to somehow or other get afloat, find some other person thinking that they're swimming, maybe I can hold on to them, but they're also drowning. And it's chaotic. And the ocean, and that's the pain of constant, and it's constant, the wheel of time crushes a person again and again and again and again. And all of that is experienced through the 10 senses, and most importantly, the mind. It's the mind that interprets the sensations of the senses. The senses by themselves are very neutral. They don't interpret any information. The senses are information gatherers. And then the mind is the one that interprets the information that's come in. This is good. This is not good. This is pleasing to touch. This is not pleasing to touch. This is pleasing to see. This is not pleasing to see. Oh, this is pleasing to hear. That's not pleasing to hear. This is pleasing to smell. That's not pleasing to smell. And depending upon each person's makeup of the mind, the same thing can be seen very oppositely sometimes, or differently. Hari Bol, Prabhuji. So the mind, it takes in the information, and two different persons will see it completely differently, or interpret it differently. And it depends on the makeup of the mind. Here's an example. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent his disciples to Burma, Myanmar, for starting a preaching center. So there, they would make halwa in pure ghee. And the neighbors complained, "What is this bad smell? Can you please stop cooking? Whatever you're cooking has a bad smell." But the folks were cooking some animal in some oil, and that was perfectly all right for them. And so Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati noted, this is how things are very different. That in pure ghee, that smell is not good, but you're grilling an animal or some bird in some oil, and that's, what's for lunch? This is how the mind, because of its conditioning, interprets information very differently. And so, three verses ago, Prahlad Maharaj was speaking, Yasmat Priya Apriya Samyoga Viyoga. That I conduct my life according to how my mind tells me, this is pleasing, this is not pleasing. This is good for you, this is not good for you. Whatever. This is the mind. And this mind is the one gives us the sensation, actually, of happiness or distress. So this wheel of time, because of past, present and future, makes the mind experience happiness and distress. Actually, in the material world, even happiness is distress. Why is happiness distress? Because the sense of happiness a person feels, although it's wonderful, they're overjoyed, that happiness has a certain characteristic or characteristics. First, that happiness in the material world is temporary. And a person hankers to continue that experience. But it goes away. Remember? Attrition. Everything reduces or goes away. Or whatever that happiness that is there, the environmental factors decide whether that happiness is relatively good or bad. For example, let's say I'm walking on the street and I find a diamond. I don't know what the diamonds are usually measured in value by carats. So I don't know what's a good valued diamond. I've never touched one, so I don't know. But let's say I find the big, big diamond. I pick it up. Oh, I'm so happy. I found this diamond. People are walking by. No one else found it. Okay, so that's great. And the first thing that strikes my heart is fear. If someone else will see it, they'll grab it from me. So my happiness has a characteristic of something else that is suffering. And let's assume, I'm going to be a little dramatic here, while I have this very valuable diamond in my hand, let's say there's an earthquake and the earth is parting. What would I save, the diamond or my life? Naturally, hopefully I will save my life, versus I don't mind if I die, the diamonds for my son's college education. Anyway, the idea is, at that point, the value of that diamond suddenly seems to not have a context, doesn't seem to be the same value, because environmentally something else is happening. This is drastic, but anything like that, it doesn't have to be an earthquake. It's just walking on the street. There is danger. There is something or the other. The fear of losing it, etc., etc. So happiness in this world has the characteristic that there is distress built in it. No need to speak about distress anyway. It is misery. So this is the experience of nishpidyamana. The mind is constantly making us experience and feel that crushing, the sense of being crushed by circumstances, by things around us, the sense of the body. So this is usually categorized into three. Nishpidyamana is categorized into three ways. One is suffering due to one's own body and mind, adhyatma. Then suffering due to someone else's body and mind, adi bhautika. And then suffering due to environmental factors, adi daivika, primarily. So these things are constantly crushing us. So the only shelter or the only solution, he's saying, is utkarsh nishpidyamana upakarsha vibho prapannam. We will take shelter of Krishna. So what happens to the crushing sensation? He said that one is relieved of it. One is relieved of the crushing sensation, although still remaining in the material body and the same factors moving around us. Somehow there is this balming effect, a sense of being anesthetized to the suffering. The only difference in anesthesia and bhakti is, in anesthesia one's not conscious, and in bhakti one is supposed to be conscious of Krishna, awake versus asleep. So people respond to the crushing by doing something that anesthetizes them to that suffering. Drugs, alcohol, sleep. Because most people, when they feel like if I sleep, then I'll forget the problem. These things are meant to, but when you can't live life in an intoxicated state. To experience the anesthetic effect while being awake, the only thing is to take shelter of Krishna. Then the sensation of being crushed goes away. One is able to, the mind now sees everything, interprets everything quite differently. And now the interpretation. The mind interprets everything according to selfish considerations. What's good for me? What I like or don't like? priya, apriya. And by taking shelter of Krishna, the mind is now revived into its or facilitates the constitutional nature of the entity. That's how Prabhupada starts the purport. The constitutional nature is now I'm considering what is favorable or unfavorable for Krishna. So from selfishness, it starts to head towards selflessness. And in selfless relationship, unconditional relationship, now Krishna reciprocates in a particular way. And that reciprocity is that the wheel of time, which is under his control, does not crush. Because now Krishna is taking charge directly of the living entity that wants to surrender. So he says, so this verse is very much in the mood of the fifth verse of Shikshashtaka. Ainanda tanuja kim karam patitam mam vishame bhavam budhav. Somehow or the other, I have fallen into this ocean of material existence. And he's saying, I am being crushed by the wheel of time. And kripaya tava pada pankaja sthita dhuli sadrusham vichintaya. Somehow or the other, kindly please pick me up and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. And here is saying too, Nishpidyamanam upakarsha vibho prapannam. I am being crushed under that wheel of time. Kindly take me to the shelter of your lotus feet. Same mood. And it's a recognition. So the first step in taking shelter of Krishna is to recognize, is to accept that yes, I am being crushed. And many persons, because the crushing they feel is not constant, they say it's all right. I'm not suffering. I'm okay. Once in a while, there is some crushing, and their justification is, I'm not the only one. Everyone's being crushed, and that is life. C'est la vie. This is life. This is life. How can you escape? Come on. This is life. Life means you have to go through adversity. That's life, man. And the whole point Prahlad Maharaj is saying is, you don't need to. You don't need to experience it. And because everyone else is being crushed is not a reason to say, hey, that's okay. I'm also being crushed. So what's the problem? We have a problem if only I am being crushed and no one else is being crushed. Then we'll say, it's all unfair. This is unfair. Why am I being crushed? Why not everyone else? I want to see everyone else also crushed. Then it's like, oh, okay, this is fair. So taking shelter, engaging in devotional service means taking shelter. It's the process from being crushed to being fully free of this wheel of time. And devotional service is the process that takes us from this end to that end. And he's asking, please, my dear Lord, pick me up. Help me. And it's important, there's another point here, that persons who are being crushed, they want help. But many persons think they can help themselves. So that's one. I can help myself. I don't need any help. I don't need any help. Or, I will take help from others who are also drowning. So how can I relieve myself? We have to have someone who is outside the wheel of time. Or not in the ocean themselves. As Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, if a person's arms are tied, they cannot be freed by another person whose arms are also tied. You need a free person. So this is proper in devotional life to call out for Krishna's mercy. Please help me. This is our method. Our method is not, oh, I found devotional service, bhakti yoga, great. Now I engage in bhakti yoga and I know how to get out of this place. I'll do it on my own. No. Without Krishna's mercy, bhakti yoga is the process by which we're constantly calling out to Krishna's mercy, calling for that descending mercy. That's the method. It's not a method by, I know the techniques, I know the tricks now, I got it. It doesn't work like that. One has to call out, please help me, Krishna. So the Prabhupada said the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is a fervent call. It's an appeal to Krishna. Please help me. Please help me. Please engage me in your service. That's the way I can be helped. It's a call. It's an ardent, fervent appeal. Please help me. And that's the mood that devotees must be like us. That's the instruction Prabhupada's giving us. Please. And there's an offer. Krishna's made an offer, Prabhupada says. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. All of human society must take advantage of this offer. Krishna's reaching out. Here, come on. Not you. Someone else. That person who's drowning, or this person who's drowning, that situation. Or, oh, I have medicine. That's the point in the previous verses. I have some health issue. I have medicine. I don't need God. I got medicine. I'm drowning. I have a boat. Got it. And so in history we see so many medicines didn't save. The big ships called the Titanic, Prabhupada called it Titanic, didn't save. The first maiden voyage. These things don't come to a person's shelter and care. It's Krishna's lotus feet that helps to help the mind become relieved of this sensation of being crushed. Circumstances may not change. In fact, very likely they will not change. What changes is the mind's culture to see things differently. And I'll end with this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was challenged that, hey, death comes for everyone. The materialist dies, the atheist dies, the devotee also dies. So what's the difference? And so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this example that a cat, when it chases a mouse and holds on to the mouse by its mouth with fangs, for the mouse, that is the grab of death and is full of fear. That same cat later picks up her kitten by their neck. That's how cats take their litter from one place to another. Picks up her kitten by the neck and takes it. It's the same grab, it's the same mouth, but the kitten feels love. Kitten feels safe. So his circumstances may not change, but it's the quality of the mind, it's the inner transformation that makes a difference. So if it's the mouse, then it's the wheel of time crushing with death and suffering. And if it's the kitten, it's the loving grasp of the Lord. And that's how one learns to see it. Then that nishpidyamanam situation goes away. Okay, any thoughts, comments, questions? Should I ring a bell? Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. This is a mic coming up.
So Prabhu, in other prayers we hear devotees say that we don't aspire to go to Vaikuntha, we just want to be engaged in your service. And then other places we hear that wherever devotees are, that place is Vrindavan. So why is Prahlad Maharaj saying, I'm crushed? Is it because he has experienced those atrocities which his father did? or is it just a representative prayer on behalf of the conditioned souls?
Well, we understand that it is a prayer on behalf of the conditioned souls. But he's not thinking, I'm not crushed, this is for the other fools. He's expressing that staying in the material world without devotional service is very crushing. That's the point. So when he says, please give me your shelter, then it doesn't necessarily mean I'm escaping from this world or I need to go to Vaikuntha. Or the sense of Vaikuntha is when there is a sense of presence of the Lord. That's what he's appealing for. He's not saying, get me out of here. Because later he's going to say, I don't want to go. I want to stay here. Text 43, when it's coming up. He says, Prayena Deva Munaya Maunam Charanti Vijane Na Pararthanishta. Oh, they're the great personalities who care for their own salvation and they go to the Himalayas and they engage in Maunavrat. But I'm not like that. I'm here, and Prabhupada writes in the translation, to save the fools and rascals who are devoid of Krishna consciousness. So it's not, I want to go to Vaikuntha. It's, I want to feel your presence in my life. I want to engage my life in your service. So please grant me that, because in the absence of that, I'm being crushed. Again and again and again and again. And that's why it's called the wheel, because any point on the wheel keeps touching the ground again and again. So the idea is that it is repetition. We have been repeatedly experiencing birth, death, old age and disease, birth, death, old age and disease, like that. Anyone else?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. So my question is regarding, in this verse where it says Krishna is to control the material qualities. So basically we learned that there's like two ways we could control people, others, or the Lord, through love, free from material motivation, so through like anger, like Hiranyakashipu tried to control Prahlad.
It's coming up next verse.
Really? So, but we could see that he was controlled by anger, and even if it was like a great Vaishnava like Shiva, he could be controlled by anger. So my question has to do with basically the difference between disagreement and disrespect. Because we could see that, you know, for example, one thing I appreciate about Bhaktisiddhanta, he made many points that it's good that people disagree with us because it makes us realize we're not the supreme controller. If everyone disagree with us, then we'll start to think, you know, everything's under my control. So my question has to do with, I'll just give one example, real example that happened. One devotee, one new devotee came up to us and told us like some latest gossip about one devotee. And I didn't agree with the devotee Sijan, I agree with him. But then he started giving his commentary. I said, give the translation, not the commentary. He started saying, you stupid. So then we were joking about it. It was funny. We were joking like, don't give your commentary. So my question is that when we disagree with devotees, the tendency is that we like to offend them naturally. If, you know, I don't agree with them, you this, you that. But one thing Bhaktisiddhanta said, he said, let me not desire nothing but the highest good for my worst enemy. So can you explain that it's good maybe to disagree with sometimes, but as long as we wish the highest well for people, we may disagree. So can you explain a little bit about that and how we not get in that trap of, you know, going from disagreement to disrespect? Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
First, let's look at disagreement itself. What is a person saying when they disagree with someone? They may not use those words, but basically disagreement means I have a view of the world or the circumstance. I have a view of it, and your view does not match my view. And because your view does not match my view, I have no way of accommodating that view. So disagreement turned to disrespect and quarrel is when I say that this is the only way, this is the truth and the only truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. You have to see the world through my eyes, otherwise it doesn't exist. That's where we enter the realm of disrespect. Versus disagreement would be, I see the world this way, you see the world that way. All right. And let's appreciate that, you know, views can be different. And let's try and see if we can see each other's world through each other's eyes. That's constructive. But disagreement is not the issue. It's what we do with it. What does it say deep down for us? What? The way I'm looking is not right? It's not possible. I always see the truth. That's disagreement. Disagreement, people see things differently. All the time. All the time. That is why Shastra, in fact even Shastra gives contradictory pictures to the same situation. And therefore we are asked to, it's called samanvaya, to strive to see things from different angles, the opposing angle as well. Okay. Any other comments, questions? Anything on the ladies' side? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanande.